God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 9, 1 through 10, with the title of the message coming from something I learned during my internship of rural America, the phrase, come and get it. Now, I will admit, I heard that phrase, you know, from TVs, from movies. It wasn't necessarily a phrase that my mom necessarily used to announce me to the dinner table. It was just only the two of us. But while I was in rural America, I found out that this phrase was used. And it had a specific reaction within me. Whenever I would hear this phrase, I knew that there was a good and grand meal waiting before me. Needless to say, in 365 days of my internship in rural America, I found this lesson to be very, very true. As proof, I gained 30 pounds in that 1 year. Yes, when they said, come and get it, I was the one who probably rushed to the table. And since I was the, quote unquote, on my internship as a pastor, I was the one to say the prayer and first one in line. And my weakness, of course, was potato salad. And, of course, being in a good German-type congregation, you know, the big question is, okay, what type of potato salad, American or German? And the answer is, yes, both. That's how I added my 30 pounds. I understood the phrase, come and get it, and I was there. And in today's text, that's exactly what I want you to also to understand. So when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because the first word says wisdom, and that is a reference to who God is. Wisdom. God is the one who built his house. God is the one that has prepared everything, set up the pillars, slaughtered the beasts, mixed the wine, set the table, made the announcement. God has gotten everything ready and now makes that announcement. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. I hope you have a very similar reaction that I would. Come and get it. It's there. Let's rush to the table and enjoy the banquet the Lord has provided. Now, the first opening words describes this as a beautiful scene. But then the next words of our text, you might be thinking, that's a little interesting. We're now talking about scoffers. We're now talking about wicked men. We're talking about people who basically say no to this beautiful message. And so the announcement is made, and to those who say no, the answer is no. But it doesn't stop the banquet from going on. The last line is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. There's more going on here than just, let's have a potluck dinner and get together. The more going on here is that relationship with wisdom, that relationship with God. Do you value what is being set before you, or do you scoff at the dinner table? Now, I will admit, sometimes people may not be delighted when the phrase, come and get it, comes out. They might sit there and say, I know what's being served, and it doesn't necessarily appeal to me. I'm going to go someplace else. Well, does that happen in the church? And the answer is yes. And so let me illustrate with another example from our society of ours. In today's world, especially here in the United States, we have something called food critics. You know, those people who go to various restaurants and they write different types of reviews. And some of the reviews that I've heard about sometimes intrigue me because maybe the reviewer had a very positive experience. And then every once in a while, you'll find a reviewer who had a very negative experience, and you'll find that the reviewer does not mince words, but will tell his audience on how bad things were. So what does the reviewer look for? From the moment the reviewer comes on the property, takes a look at the outside, takes a look at the inside, takes a look at the weight, takes a look at who greets them, takes a look at the atmosphere, takes a look at the noise level, takes a look at the menu, the pricing, the way the food is even arranged on the table, on the plate, and then, of course, what the food tastes like. He has a whole long list of things that are being reviewed, but it's kind of interesting. In most of the reviews that I've read or heard about, there's always one thing that seems to be missing. Is the food really good for you? It doesn't talk about how many calories are in the food or how many carbohydrates or how much fat or how much cholesterol. It's usually about what does it taste like? What does it look like? What is the atmosphere like? So to someone who gets caught up with all the external things of life, they may have a bad review of a particular restaurant. They might not think of the food as being, quote-unquote, good. And they may never come back. Even if the food is what they really need at that particular moment. Now the parallel to the church. Every opportunity we come and we gather here, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And when we receive the Lord's Supper, we receive that little piece of bread and a little bit of wine. Not much of a supper, so to speak. Not much to, quote unquote, fill the stomach. But we don't necessarily come here to fill the stomach, do we? We come here to receive the more. And what's more? When that bread and wine has God's promise attached to it, it is more than bread and wine. It is the body and blood of Christ. And with that word of God being attached to it, that word of God is life and life eternal. So in one essence, instead of thinking of it as a grand banquet that we are celebrating, we need to think of it as the medicine or the elixir of life, so to speak. This is the Lord's Supper. Now, what would happen if a critic came in, evaluated us here at Trinity Lutheran Church, noticed the sidewalk and the rails needing some repair, noticing that the brick building is still in decent shape, back from the 1920s, but notice that, yes, we remodeled on the inside. The carpet has got a little bit of lumps here and there, but the people are genuinely friendly. And then when you finally get to the meal, that little bit of bread, that little bit of wine, I could just see the nasty review that we would get. No water, nothing to necessarily really drink besides it. And what about dessert? It's all missing. Needless to say, the reviewer would probably write a very nasty review saying the food is terrible. But yet you're gathered here for this food. Too often we allow our own imaginations sometimes and our own sinful nature to kick in very similar to that of a food reviewer. Especially when it comes to God's word and the church. You woke up this morning, you came and you gathered. Amen, thank you. You're here to receive that precious word of God, the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ. But now, what happens when you leave? Each one of you, in one essence, becomes a food reviewer for someone who does not know what happens here at Trinity. And how would you rate what happens here? Do you also have the same appreciation of the gospel message? Do you sit there and say, yes, these are the words of eternal life, as Peter says in our gospel reading? Or do you sit there and say, well, you know, it's not a bad place. This is kind of where we grew up and kind of got attached to. But, you know, there are other places also that have value. Or did we miss completely, even for ourselves, even as we come to the Lord's table, what it truly means when the Lord says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And combining this with our gospel reading, when Peter says, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Can we put those together and hang on to that precious promise of God and realize this is where we need to be? This is where we have the supper that gives life and life eternal. Now, I will admit, for those of you who happen to enjoy a nice, thick, juicy steak, you're not going to get one today. But for those of you who come with broken hearts, for those of you who come with the burden of sin, for those of you who come with lives that are messed up, that need repair. For those of you who are coming to seek something beyond yourself, now you have come to the right place. The place where God's word brings that healing, where his own body and blood brings that salvation. We come to celebrate what the Lord gives to us. True, I don't think some reviewer is going to come by and slap 5 stars on the outside of our church sign. But instead, we have the wonderful meal of Christ himself. So when we think of the gospel message, when we think of the divine service and God giving of himself here at Trinity, do we give it a fantastic review? Do we appreciate that gospel message? Or we would just say, okay, Pastor, nice message. Maybe I'd only give it 1 star or 2. This day, I hope and pray that we truly do celebrate with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives of himself on Calvary's cross for you and me. This is not some special ritual. This is something that we need for life and life eternal. We don't come to fill the stomach, but to satisfy the soul. But Martin Luther does note that when the soul is healed, the body is also helped. He explains this in his large catechism under the instruction of the Lord's Supper. So we come and we celebrate as wisdom did build her house. Christ has prepared all things. So now we just need the dinner bell to be rung and the phrase to be announced, come and get it. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.